So today we've come to the third in our series of stewardship sermons that are coming from the readings that were given each week. And we started out this series with the foundation stone of gratitude, but it starts with the practice of gratitude. Followed on last week with it sustained by this virtue and value of persistence. And now finally, the last week, this foundation stone is handed to us straight up in the first reading, generosity. This is where the fruit comes. Give as generously as you can afford. Couldn't be more obvious. And then there's this tag. Did you notice this? And God will repay you sevenfold. That's insane. That is the jackpot. That is a good return on investment. But is it really true? Really? When we're talking about stewardship, one of the things that comes up, and again, it's sort of, it comes out in the reading, is that it's not just about taking care of what we have. It's about giving some of it away, putting it out there. In the West, at least, in our culture, where we prize our individualism, that can be a little bit challenging. Some cultures would just, well, of course you share it all. And while it comes naturally, it seems like for some of us, for others, it's a learned behavior. I am one of those others. So I came from immigrant settler stock. I remember my great-grandfather, who spoke with a thick accent. His hands were like dinner plates. They were huge and strong. And I heard the story that when he came over from Sweden, he made his way by digging basements with a shovel and those hands. And in northern Wisconsin, where it seemed like winter was always coming, we learned how to be really frugal. We were good at it. And generosity, the kind of giving things away without counting how much you had left, wasn't our natural instinct. So it was when I heard someone speak about stewardship. It was about 10 years ago. I don't remember who it was or exactly what the context was, but the message just resonated with me. It changed the way I give, and it changed the way I could be more generous in practice. So that's something I want to pass along this morning, just from my own experience. What they said is, in order to get into this lively zone of feeling good about being generous, don't start by thinking about the dollar amount. That's just going to make you anxious. Start by thinking proportionally, saying, what percentage of what I earn do I want to give away? And this is a little bit harder to do. It's easy to say, here's what I want, but to say, what am I actually doing right now? It's easy to calculate. Just saying, what's the percentage? And then it doesn't matter what the percentage is. Just look at what the edge is to say, well, here's what I'm doing. What do I want to do? Go right to desire. Say, oh, you know, frankly, we all love to be generous. We just don't know that we love it so much, because it feels like it's coming out of our flesh. And he said, take the spiritual adventure then of saying, okay, what's that increase that I might like to try, that feels like it's the challenge? And now notice we're not talking about giving to something. We're just saying, what part of my income do I want to give away? And then the second piece of advice surprised me, but it was one of the most effective pieces for me. They said, and don't give it all away to the church. Give it away. You got to keep some of it so you can give it wherever you want, whenever you want. That it's just there as a pool of monopoly money. But, they said, do give a significant chunk of it to your faith community. The community that sustains you. And that sustains the community. It gives you a stake in the conversation and a sense of deep investment. And it is how the community sustains itself and thrives. And as I listened to that, there seemed to be some real freedom and boldness and freshness and doability in that formula. I thought, if I don't just jump in, I don't think I'm ever going to feel generous in this way. So I just took the jump, and I said, if I don't go big, I'm not going to go at all. And I said, I'm just going to go 10%, and I'm going to just see what happens. So it's been my practice ever since, to whatever the gross is, to say 10% of that, half of it goes to the faith community that I belong to, so that's St. Paul's right now, and half of it is this pot of money that I get to give away. And I'll tell you, that money is the most fun I have with anything I own, because it's already been marked as giveaway money. And it's fun to give money away once it's not yours. I'm giving somebody else's money away, it feels like. That might be a little mind hack, but it has worked for me. Some churches actually do it as a church. They say, all right, we're going to, whatever our budget is, we're going to take a chunk of that, and that is giveaway money. We're going to look for things that are happening in the community that we want to support, align with, source, and create a relationship with. And it has that same effervescent effect in a community's life. I'm telling you about my experience in giving because I think it's healthy to talk about money, about what we give to and why we give and what makes us eager to give. And I want to be transparent in my example as a community leader. And it's still a struggle. And I also realize the irony is not lost. I'm saying all of this on a Sunday where we're reading about the religious leader who's talking about how he tithes and used as the example of what not to do. But I don't think what the religious leader steps into is not talking about money. That's not the problem. It's being comparative about it, saying somehow this earns something with God. That is exactly backwards. It's explicit in the first reading. Give as God has given to you. That's the core nugget of stewardship, that all we are doing is responding to our experience of being given to by God. The religious leader thinks he is earning God's favor, but that can't be earned. It's already given in abundance. The tax collector gets that. He's the one who's truly the scoundrel. That's true, but his arms are open, asking God in this relationship for mercy, which is the one thing that God is always giving, is always the only thing God gives. There's that old prayer in the prayer book, a prayer of humble access. God, whose property is to have mercy. That's God's DNA. That's what God does. And it's all for us, each one of us. And as we take it in and discover that there is no end to it, then it gets easier to give it away. And it starts that wheel turning of generosity that just gives and gives and gives. I would say that's really the only model of stewardship to remember. Remember one thing is just give like God gives. And that might take us again into this sort of what if imaginal space that is the core of our stewardship work this year. What if we gave like God gives? What if we practiced generosity with that confidence that it makes more of itself? What if we, it wouldn't take all of us, a bunch of us at St. Paul's said, you know, I'm going to notch up my giving away by 0.5% or 1%. What if we came together on November 13th at 5 p.m. for a potluck? Did you hear that promo there? Y'all come on November 13th at 5 p.m. for a potluck to talk more about what if. Not a hard sell stewardship dinner. It's just a time to come together and truly step into that imaginal space. I'm teleporting myself back 3 years to the stewardship dinners when I first got here, my first 6 weeks. I kept notes. I just looked at those notes about a week or two ago. The stuff that was bubbling up then was amazing what-if thinking. It's all still there. The things that we have already imagined have only gotten richer in this time and are ready to cut loose as we continue to listen to one another. What if? I think God is always and everywhere, but especially now, inviting us into this time of imagining and of discovering what it is we get to do with all this mercy that is flowing toward us and through us, welling up within us. What if we discovered God's generosity to and through us together? As Father Paul says, let's do it. Amen.